This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:06 on your Afternoon Drive. Philip Teresi and Skip Echeverria joining you for hour four, and it is Wednesday. Wednesday. We are halfway through the work week already. Thank you, Lord. But I have to admit, I didn't spend all day yesterday thinking it was Monday. So, if you're confused, we have something that might help or do exactly the opposite. The state of California, by way of Senate Bill 519, authored by none other than Senator Wiener, has advanced out of the state Senate and has moved on to the California State Assembly. Well, what would Senate Bill 519 be? Could it be water infrastructure? Are you kidding? Could it be legally prohibiting department stores from having separate gendered clothing areas? No, it's not that either. Senator Wiener wants to legalize psychedelics.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you have not tried psychedelics.
Oh, God, no. God, no. I would turn into a mess. Are you kidding me? I also, though, have not dabbled in the use of these things to treat like long-term depression or anxiety, where I know some people love to point to that as a possibility that's actually being researched. But it's not just the magic mushrooms that they're looking to legalize. No, no, no. It doesn't stop there.
LSD, MDMA, DMT, mescaline, and ketamine.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of the reefer madness creep here, just a little bit of unnecessary hand-wringing as they describe ketamine as a date rape drug frequently used by individuals committing sexual assault, to which I would say almost anything can be used as a date rape drug when applied as such by a determined individual. So has it been used that way? It has. Do I think that the primary use of ketamine in society has been rape? No, I don't believe so. But it is a hypnotic. And this is probably not going to be the most unpopular opinion I say in this room today. I am already wary of a mental health infrastructure that unfortunately is unevenly divided between a whole lot of really well-intentioned people who take their training and their job and their vocation seriously and do their absolute best to help the people that they counsel live better, happier, more fulfilling lives. As with literally every occupation in the history of humanity, there are dumbasses who do it wrong. I'm not saying that introducing psychedelics into a therapeutic environment, like, I read a lot of stuff about MDMA and magic mushroom psilocybin being used really effectively in dealing with PTSD. I mean, some like really intelligent clinical breakdowns of what's happening and how it's happening and why it might be useful to begin to deploy this strategy on a little bit wider of a basis. There's some real smart stuff there. The potential for harm, at least short-term harm, when you start mixing these drugs in with the, I think, tiny minority but nevertheless inevitably present dumbasses in mental health, could be catastrophic.
Well, I think actually a great example of that is look at emotional support animals. Because there's actually like very, very strict rules about folks that will write like the parameters for an emotional support animal and whether or not you should be putting your license on the line to provide an emotional support animal. That said, there are people just think that you can just sign off that thing on your note, put your name and license on it, and lo and behold, you can bring Fluffy into the apartment or on the plane. So that's a great example of the misuse of things. Where I struggle with this because I think that stepping away from making things illegal allows for people to actually get treatment as opposed to getting jail time, which is not effective in stopping drug use. However, we are not talking about little things here. These drugs can have horrible emotional effects if you're having a bad trip. You know, if you're doing this thinking, oh well, it's legal, you know, it's, let's give it a go. They're just not made for, I mean, why do you need to have access, for instance, to ketamine, which is used for anesthesia? Like, I get it if you're a doctor doing it, or maybe a psychiatrist, but you would have to really look at the training of the psychiatrist doing this stuff. What I think it opens up for is like, well, it's legal. How bad could it be? Let's give it a go. And then you get a bunch of idiots dealing with a whole lot of problems and potential, you know, drug use on a level that's going to become problematic. Because these drugs here, I mean, these are like the higher end type thing. You know, these are people on a different level that are getting into that.
You're definitely getting higher, yeah. I feel like there needs to be a series of PSAs. You're aware that like there are several gun ranges in the greater Las Vegas area where you can go and you can rent.
Oh, I shot a Colt 45 there. Is that the big one? No, the Eagle. What's the Eagle one?
The Desert Eagle. That's a 50 cal.
Yeah, thank you. It was very
But that's a handgun.
Yeah, and you can shoot the big, like, machine guns and stuff.
You can get to
Tommy
guns. Did you shoot a machine gun? Anybody in your group shoot one?
Yes.
Okay, how'd it go?
Not as expected. I mean, it was safe. But yeah, it packs a punch. You're like, whoa.
Okay, so I'm glad that you've experienced that, because you can testify what happens when you pull the trigger on a machine gun for the very first time, no matter how much they talk to you about what it's going to feel like.
Oh, yeah. No, you ain't ready. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're at one of the ranges that hasn't yet started chaining the barrels to a maximum vertical clearance, you can be shooting at the sun in about a half a second. If you aren't prepared for the kick and the lift on the barrel on that, it's a completely different thing. It's awesome and it's fun and I love it. And if you aren't ready for it and you don't practice it regularly, it's gonna get away from you. Which is why all those ranges have like crazy safety training before they'll let you walk out there and pick up something like that. That needs to be the PSA. This is your brain on Budweiser. And it shows some guy like chilling by the pool with barbecue tongs, chatting with his friends. This is your brain on weed. And it shows some guy like kicking it on the couch, playing video games, listening to Pink Floyd. This is your brain on psychedelics, and it just shows every machine gun range fail video where somebody got knocked on their tuchus and only but by the grace of enhanced security parameters was spared from watching a gun go flying around the room like a broomstick with an invisible witch.
Yeah. And I think that that's the problem with legalizing this, is that the implication is it's not that bad, right? But these aren't. And this is my struggle when people tell me about how they use their alcohol to calm their nerves or their weed to calm their anxiety. I wasn't pointing at you. I talk with my hands. Sure. Okay. Until it's a problem. Until you think because you dabbled with it and you've talked yourself into it, that's actually, you know, working out for you while everybody around, not for everybody, but for some are going, wait, no, that's probably not a good idea, because these drugs do have effects. And I think it's absolutely important to be studying these, perhaps for chronic treatment resistant depression, anxiety, PTSD. Absolutely. But that is a very different situation than when you go, hey guys, it's all legal, let's go. You know what I mean? Well, MDMA, for instance, right? By the way, you use too much of that, you're not gonna be able to orgasm, so, you know, ride that roller coaster carefully. maybe an application of that to like a boring marriage could be something that's helpful. I don't know. But if it turns into, holy geez, you're out on the corner not wearing clothes, it's going to become problematic.
Or at least really embarrassing.
I think that it becomes an epidemic in Northeast Fresno. That would be so funny.
Of ketamine junkies walking around with no pants on?
I said MDMA. They're just all touching.
just a bunch of 20-somethings porky pigging it through Woodward Park.
It's a new era in news talk. Only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
If you miss any part of the show, you can get the podcast at kmjnow.com. It is the Afternoon Drive. Also there, starting tomorrow, on sale at 9 a.m. It'll be this week's sweet deal, amazing food at Kebab City. I've tried it, not paid to give this endorsement, but it's delicious. And for $25, you can get $50 to spend at Kebab City. That goes on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. It'll sell out fast. So just a friendly heads up there. So before the break, we were talking about how the California Senate is moving forward with legalizing psychedelics. And off the air, Philip, you and I were talking about some people can handle that. And then just like alcohol, just like weed, just like gambling, some people can't. And I go back and forth between not decriminalizing offers opportunities for actual treatment when you have people that are in places that could use treatment. However, decriminalizing, I think, also gives a kind of a false sense of it's safe. And these drugs are not on par with things like alcohol or even the most potent of weed now. And so it gets a little bit scary for me in terms of some of the long-term effects.
So kind of following up on the story about the California Senate advancing their legalization and passing it off to the Assembly, Business Insider has yet another survey, this one saying that a third of U.S., not California, U.S., 35% of voters say that psychedelic substances like magic mushrooms have or may have medical use. Now, that means that there's still like 65% of American voters that say the substances do not have any good use. There's a little bit of a political slant here. 43% of Democrats, 41% of independents could see a potential medical use. Only 23% of Republicans can say the same. And of course, the younger you get, the more likely it is you'll consider the possibility. I've got a friend who's served multiple tours, and as a consequence of those multiple tours, suffers from what I would describe as moderate serious PTSD. He's functional. He's able to exist in society and pay his bills and keep his house up and dress himself and all of that. But there's been some struggles. There's been some bumps in the road. And he and a group of like-minded young veterans decided that they were just going to go for it. And they laid hands on psilocybin mushrooms. And they got in touch with some guys who had talked to them about the possible benefits. You know, the mixed blessing of the internet. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you can find somebody who will do it with you. He found an attractive, significant benefit to having been talked through a relatively minor trip. Now, I don't know if he just was, you know, body mass versus amount consumed, or, you know, relatively calm people who were taking the situation seriously, but
like microdosing or just paying attention to that.
It was more mindful people than microdosing, because there was definitely some auditory and visual hallucinations as a component of this. Not crazy, ridiculous, Beavis and Butthead Do America, Rob Zombie scene, but just, you know, a little bit of stuff. All of which was, I guess enhanced would be the word, guided by the sober people who were there to kind of work through it. He felt that there was a benefit and that some of the emotional knots that have tied him up, that have kind of bound him from being exactly who he wants to be, were loosened, were meaningfully loosened in a way that made him feel a hell of a lot better the next day. I think that that's fantastic. And I think that if this is anecdotal, it is a singularly strong and strong-minded individual who was being guided through by people who cared about a specific positive result. We saw what happened when we legalized marijuana for medicinal use. Cancer patients had a little bit easier time getting it. AIDS patients had an easier time getting it. And a whole bunch of people went to doctors going, oh, my back. Yeah, you know what would help is, some edibles.
I knew a morbidly obese guy that got a doctor to say he was anorexic and give him a pot pass.
This thing was so out of control here in Fresno. I had come to work for Chris probably a year and a half prior. And the legalization thing was in full swing. And there was a dude out at Shaw and Fresno with this like massive sign about get legal $85 green doctor evaluations, yep. Blah, blah, blah. We talked about it on the air. And so out of curiosity as to see how it would go, I went down there with permission from the old program director and from Chris, and as it turns out, also with a watchful eye of the county sheriff. And I went to this doctor's office.
Ooh,
and paid
research.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. And I went down there and I paid my money, and I talked about intermittent insomnia intermittent insomnia and generalized anxiety. You know, things that happen to everybody sometimes and that are probably really best treated by calling your mom or having a glass of warm milk. Instead, I got a note that allowed me to have more weed than I've ever owned in my life.
Well, and I guess that's going to be, we're going to see this experiment unfold, because we're seeing here that a third of U.S. adults say that magic mushrooms have a medical use. That's not controversial to me. We find medicine in crazy places. Now, processing that and turning that into something that has FDA standards and has been ethically and has been produced in a way that, you know, is standardized, that's important. However, when you start moving forward with this, you are going to get the yahoos that come out and that can write those scripts. Or, for instance, in Oregon, it'll be interesting to see. They were the first state last year to legalize mushrooms for therapeutic use. I mean, technically, as therapists, we're not supposed to do that. So is that a psychiatrist? And then are those psychiatrists going and getting additional training? Because it sounds like that would be more information that's needed. You know, part of the reason that led to a really high addiction rate with opiates was you had general practitioners and everybody under the sun just giving out the drugs, because the drug company, lo and behold, Big Pharma, went out and said, hey, it's totally fine, it's not addictive. And then you ended up with the opioid epidemic. So I do think that there are people that are really struggling. Like you said, PTSD, there is treatment-resistant depression. People that try so hard will give their money to snake oil doctors for the hope of trying to get some help. That if they could possibly be helped by this, then it's worth researching. But for fun, I'm getting a little worried.
I agree with you up to the part where I don't think it was ever the government's business to tell us what we can and cannot put into our bodies. And I think that the government's decision starting, oh God almighty, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, to start regulating what we could and could not buy and use of our own volition, it weakened the American psyche and the American resolve and the individual responsibility required to deal with this responsibly. We have an entire society of people whose only understanding of drugs is what they've seen on TV and in movies and the little bit of grass that they smoked in high school. There are going to be people who, absent the correct training, the correct life experience, the adversity that led to the building of the character required to responsibly imbibe, there's going to be people that end up hurting themselves or hurting other people. And I don't know if it's better to tear off the Band-Aid or to do this social merkin of medicinal legalization. We can spend a little bit more time on this when we get back, but we're running late for news right now. Here's our...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:35 on the Afternoon Drive. Philip and Skip talking about psychedelics. A third of the United States voter base thinks that it's probably about time to start legalizing them, which of course means that about two-thirds of the United States voter base is not ready to start just handing out LSD at the 7-Eleven candy jar. California Senate has advanced legislation that would legalize psychedelics, quite a slate of them, too. Everything from mushrooms and LSD to MDMA and ketamine. And I find myself hung between the very sincere belief that an adult should be able to do whatever they damn well please, so long as it does not harm other people or other people's property. If it makes you happy to get high as a kite, and you've paid your taxes, mowed your lawn, and made sure that you've got a babysitter for the kids, I don't agree with how you're spending your free time. It's not my business. It's certainly not the government's business. On the flip side, we have made these drugs illegal, and they have been illegal for generations. We have an entire society that has no damn clue how to deal with this stuff anymore.
It kind of reminds me of when you get a car, you don't go put your kid in a car that has too much power for him, right? Like, you drive with them, you teach them, they know the rules, and then they work up to that. And then sometimes you put them in the car and they still crash it, sometimes on the first day, huh? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good comparison to it. The other piece of it, though, is that one of the things that has just been very interesting as a political newbie is that the diehard drugs are bad from the right. And I get the conservative values that are based around that. And then the Democratic side of lifting it and let people figure it out. It just seems swapped to me. Like, that's the one thing I can never quite get my head around, is that the two positions seem swapped. However, I think some of those older orientations, this steadfast, it's bad because of the indoctrination of a DARE and everything else wrapped up around substances, is starting to lift as people are getting more educated. And also as there's becoming more science and research about that, mushrooms might be helpful, you know, that there are reasons for it. Again, this is coming from somebody who doesn't doesn't have any desire to mess with any of it. However, I mean, don't fry your brain.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If the state of California, and I have a funny feeling that it's going to happen. Should the state of California decriminalize this slate of psychedelics? And should the mental health community continue to find, what would the word be? Reliable anecdotal evidence that this is an avenue worth pursuing in a therapeutic context. Understanding that there will be people who go out and abuse the availability of the substance as a medicinal offering, at least initially. Doesn't the good of being able to help people outweigh the potential bad of somebody who is eventually going to smoke their brain with something, smoking their brain with this particular something?
Yeah, it does. Because again, I'll go back to, you know, people who have treatment-resistant depression, anxiety, PTSD, or people who have chronic health or chronic pain issues that, you know, opiates are going to take them down a bad road. And if, you know, good cannabis can help them out, fine. I'm all for trying to figure out if we can use the things that are around to make people's lives better. I also am aware that some people, that'll be an introduction to a bad place and a bad road. I also think, though, that if we are talking about trying to, and I'm going to flip this a little bit towards what some of these laws mean, and that is allowing people who are incarcerated for things that are now legal to have that expunged or to have their sentences overturned makes sense, too, if we're talking about being fiscally responsible with our taxes and how much money we spend on incarcerating people. So I think that there's like multiple levels where this could be helpful. I also think as research continues and the stigma around mental health services, the understanding about treatment on multiple levels, we're going to start to see some changes in the attitudes of things. I mean, using psychedelics and, you know, I'm thinking of like things like peyote and whatnot, like those have been part of spiritual experiences that traditional Christian morals and standards did not necessarily, you know, partake in. But other cultures have used that as part of like their spiritual experience.
Well, and that's I think, yeah, just a cultural line. I mean, best beer in Belgium, probably best beer in the world, still being brewed by guys whose educations came almost straight from the Vatican.
There's monks that live on beer.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that monks came from the Vatican. I got my religions confused.
Well, you know that the Vatican was the jumping off point, right? That was where the Golgotha for the crucifixion.
Nope.
And the rock upon which the church was founded. And
but I thought monks did something else.
Monks aren't Protestants. They're friars.
I thought friars and monks were two different things. I'm confusing my monks. Anyway, the point being, what's that beer that starts with a CH? It's made by monks. I'll have to Google it.
That starts with a CH.
Monk beer.
Oh. You're confusing me.
I am. Go on, though. Go with yours, and then I'll figure this out.
Right. Oh, I think that it is...
Seamus. No, that's not it. Is that it?
Okay.
Chimay. Chimay.
That is one kind of monk brewed beer.
Yes, thank you. I knew. Belgium. Not the Vatican. But anyway, where were we? Religions and using substances.
Watching you try to name drop off-brand Brother Thelonious. All right.
No. The point being...
Drugs used irresponsibly are bad. Our society has not been trained on how to use drugs responsibly. And there's going to be a breaking in period. But I think that incarcerating people for doing what they want with their own bodies, again, don't hurt other people. Don't hurt other people's property. Otherwise, do what you want to do with you. It's your life. It's your body. It's your soul. Hopefully you were raised right. And if you weren't, I hope you figure it out before you get yourself into trouble by hurting somebody else or damaging or taking their stuff.
Or you have a really bad trip and then you don't quite know how to come back from that. That's the scary part.
So when I was in high school, I was friends with a couple of brothers who were they were good students, good kids, both student athletes, and their little core of friends decided that they were going to jump on the LSD train.
Oh, that's bad news.
And I have had one intentional, one unintentional experience with psychedelics. I'm not a fan. It doesn't work good with my brain. There's doors that were closed in there for a reason. But I respect the idea that a person should be able to experiment. And my buddies got a hold of this stuff and dropped their tabs. And we started off, God, we started off good, man. We were really like, we were cruising. Things were fine. And then one of the brothers saw the moon disappear behind a cloud and somehow made the logical leap that the moon disappearing behind the cloud but continuing to provide illumination, because it was a full moon, was an indication that he had inadvertently died at some point in the course of the evening. Now, he had not been injured in any way. There were no firearms present. There was no agitation, violence, or other open negativity that I can point to. But something about the moon disappearing behind the cloud caused something in his brain to go, oh my, I have died. I must immediately inform everybody. And he starts running down the street, banging on the neighbors' doors, screaming about being dead.
That'll get you into some trouble, depending on the neighborhood you're in.
Sierra and Temperance.
Oh, yeah.
Deep Clovis.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
Oh, super. That was definitely not the longest night of my senior year of high school. We finally caught him, dragged him back to the house, shouting apologies about, it's just a prank, sorry, maybe he had one too many shots of tequila, moo-hoo, ha-ha, we're putting him to bed now. And then dragged him inside and tried to figure out how to safely barricade him in a room he couldn't escape from. Because keep in mind, this was a varsity level, nationally competitive student athlete. This was absolutely the worst person to have completely out of their mind at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday morning.
I'm going to save this podcast and just play it for my children. So when they say, hey, mom, have you heard that it might be legal? I'm going to be like, Uncle Philip has a story.
This guy cried and screamed. It took hours to get him to just mellow out enough to like allow for the reset to creep in. It was a profoundly bad trip, and we did everything we could to help him. And once his brain decided it was going south, it went south. I have never seen somebody who was in normal life, in the waking world, such a grounded, happy, even-keeled human being. I mean, just a nice guy. You'd like this guy. He's a good dude. Mm-hmm. Being so sincerely terrified. I mean, like real mortal terror for such a long. It was exhausting to watch him.
You know what's going to be a benefit of this if it happens now, too, is everybody has a phone to be able to record these things. So you can catch people having their meltdown if they don't remember it or acting a fool and then being like, look, this is you on MDMA. Not a good look.
Look at how many times you touched the brush dryer. Are you proud of yourself?
That it's almost 6 o'clock on this awesome short work week. Also, we would like to remember why we had the short work week. Thank you to Memorial Day. Okay, so that's Philip. I'm Skip, and we're just about out of here. But before we go, if you missed any part of the show, you can get the podcast available at kmjnow.com. That's also where you can get the podcast from Broski and Musson. In case you missed them today, Ray Appleton, Mark Levin, and others.
Oh, and the CGP, Christopher Gabriel. Having joined the Fresno Morning News team, Christopher Gabriel program will air Saturdays, I believe, on KMJ, and there will be a CGP podcast coming soon to KMJNow.com.
Which is great, because he has obviously a long background in being like the talk show host type. And so it's always interesting, even when I've had to listen to him talk about sports. So... So that'll be something new. He's just fun. Just a good guy. So it's good stuff up on our website. And we you know, we have all the late breaking news and stuff, but also sweet deals for everything from food to vacations. And now that things are starting to open up and it's 100+ degrees here in the valley, you might want to leave it.
Yeah. It's not a bad time to plan a vacation. Hey, speaking of states passing laws that frequently result in the utterance of the phrase well-intentioned idiocy. In this case, I think that we are seeing some forethought and anticipation of the needs of the community. As King County in Washington State, that would be the Seattle area, 2.3 million people has announced that a proposal to ban government agencies' use of facial recognition software has been approved by a unanimous vote of 9-0.
Whoa, boy, there you go. The following quote was released. The use of facial recognition technology by government agencies poses distinct threats to our residents, including potential misidentification, bias, and the erosion of our civil liberties. The use and misuse of these technologies has potentially devastating consequences, which the new ordinance will help to prevent. Wow, the techie folks are getting ahead of the curve on this one.
Actually, it's the techie folks that made it necessary for this to be passed.
Yeah, they're
because it turns out that part of the problem with the algorithms that drive facial recognition software is that all of them were built around recognition of pale, Caucasian, and East Asian men's faces. This is not me doing like an, oh my God, it's not woke thing. When these guys were building this stuff, the only faces they had to work with were the faces in the room, theirs. So that gap in women and people of color getting into tech manifest as facial recognition software, not knowing how to see black people and not doing real good looking at brown people and frequently confusing women with their celebrity doppelgangers. So, yeah, this particular batch of cookies ain't done yet, and King County is absolutely correct to tell them to stuff it back in the oven for another decade. We got to go. Mark Levin's on the way. Philip, before that, our friends at the Valley's Legends and Legacies. We will rejoin you tomorrow afternoon, too. Have a great night.
Take care.